Is being rich a blessing or a danger? Can true disciples of Jesus be rich? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on with the rich and famous. With me today are Paul Dibdahl, professor of theology at Walla Walla University, and Dan Solis, author of The Lessons and pastor at the Village Church.
Both of us neither rich nor famous, but we'll try to
after
talk
this,
about that.
After this broadcast, you will be famous.
Okay.
Gentlemen, welcome. We're glad you're here. Whether you're ordinary or poor or famous or whatever, you're here and God is using you. So we're glad that you've joined us. My name is John Dibdahl. Okay, this week we now move to the other extreme of the social scale we have talked about. Outcasts, now the pendulum swings to the rich and the famous. We move from the poverty and weakness of the social outcast to the power and prestige of the rich and famous. The point of this lesson is that Jesus worked to save and recruit as disciples the rich and famous. Jesus not only cared about the rich and famous, he also knew how to reach them and expected them to respond. It's kind of interesting as you think about this, the fact that Jesus could cross over social classes and be able to reach out to the rich, because a lot of us kind of feel, those of us who are ordinary people kind of feel like there's not much chance for us to rub shoulder. Or maybe you'll tell me a story that you have somewhere. So anyway, there's a couple of terms in here that I'd like to think about, particularly ruler. It talks about Jesus meeting with rulers, a ruler of the Jews. What would a ruler of the Jews be? Could anybody tell me? I kind of look myself. It's kind of hard to find. It's not a very specific term.
Dan may know more about this than I do, but I don't know of any specific kind of office that's being referred to there. Stop me if I'm getting myself in trouble here, but a ruler would have been someone that was an influential leader that people looked up to, and there may have been some specific
It's a very general
community that they have.
The reason I mention is because there are two people that figure fairly prominently in Scripture who are called rulers.
The rich young ruler.
The rich young ruler in Matthew is called a ruler. That's the only place he's called a ruler. And then Nicodemus is the ruler of the Jews. So there are two people who are called rulers. So we don't know exactly what that means, whether that's speaking in a religious sense or whether it's speaking in a governmental sense, but certainly it's saying they had status.
Mm-hmm. And the two examples that you have given to us would suggest that it could have been religious, it could have been more geopolitical in some way.
Well, and we do know that both of them were rich. It specifically says the ruler that refuses to follow Jesus and give up everything and follow him, it was because he had great possessions. So we know he was rich. And Nicodemus, we know that they went to him to get help later on with finances in the early church. So both of them were rich and both of them were rulers. And one of them decided to follow Jesus, although probably not immediately. We don't know immediately what Nicodemus response was. We only know later. But the rich young ruler refused. So even Jesus was unsuccessful. So is it harder for a rich person to be saved, or is it easier for a rich man?
Can a camel go through the eye of a needle?
This is a struggle for me, the question. I suppose the categories are always difficult because there are, exceptions. You can't just say, rich people are not all one and the same, obviously.
That's right.
Nor are
we would
poor,
wanna, we wouldn't want to categorize too much.
Nor are poor people. But it does seem to me, just speaking personally in my own experience, that the more I feel like I have provided, that I have somehow, that I somehow possess what I need for security, you can't help but begin to focus on that which you have that provides you that security. And ideas of, you know, dependence or following where God leads become, at least for me, more difficult the more stable and comfortable life becomes. So that almost sounds like wealth is a danger. At least I feel like it is for me.
And the Old Testament has a number of examples, Nebuchadnezzar being one of them. Here is this man that says, look at all that I have done. I've created this wonderful kingdom.
Yeah.
And then God, through his mercy, allows him to become ill. And for 7 years, he's traipsing around the country like an animal.
Crazy.
All right. Completely loses his mind. And then God gives him an opportunity to come back. And so here's a wealthy man that was wealthy, became nothing, and then really found out who he is, his identity with God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it's a marvelous story, and it gives us hope that under God's guidance, people who have lots of money and may be very self-dependent can yet change and find God.
And God, I mean, certainly in Scripture, there are a number of stories where people of great wealth show themselves to be genuine followers of God and use their wealth, use their influence, use their power in wonderful ways.
Abraham.
So Abraham, Job, you know, is a righteous man and very, very wealthy. So I'm kind of stepping back again, reminding myself that we can't categorize here.
We need to be careful. I'll just give a short answer to the question I asked at the beginning. Is being rich a blessing or a danger? And my answer would be yes. That is to say, it's both. It's clear that it's a blessing. You know, I do get a little disturbed when some people talk about God has blessed me. I've had so many blessings. And usually that's talking of some kind of material thing, which is kind of right. But at the same time, I want to say you need to be careful because there's dangers involved. So I would want to say, is it a blessing or is it a danger? And I would say, yes, it's a blessing and a danger because some of the stuff in the Bible, if you read what Jesus says to his disciples when he's talking about it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, the statements are downright scary. I mean, it's pretty serious stuff, you know. How can a rich person? It is very hard for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven. So, like you said, Paul, and Dan as well, you have to really think about the heart and you have to really think about people. And you can't assume that because you've gotten all these things that what you're doing is the right thing. Mm-hmm. And you're keeping your faith in God. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there are a number of people that are afraid to approach people they consider to be rich.
Ah, there, now you're
They're
coming to the witness.
They're not going to pay any attention to me. I'm just a nobody. One of my favorite stories comes from the Old Testament where this little slave girl reaches out to a pagan captain. He's higher echelons of pagan society.
Yeah.
And Naaman is recognizing, I don't have it all. I have this disease. And I'm probably going to die. And so this little girl goes to him and says, there is a God in Israel. And if you will put your trust in him, then you can have the full and complete life that you're looking for. Here's this little girl. You know, she didn't hold back. Maybe she didn't know that she wasn't up on his level.
Yeah.
And she just shares her love for God. And as a result, he becomes a believer.
I think some of us have this artificial fear of the rich and the famous. If you've ever read any biographies of some of these people and read about their friends and people that they meet, you discover that really at heart they're fairly mundane and ordinary in a lot of their things. They happen to be in a certain position or to be rich or some twist of fate or something enabled this to happen. But the fact of the matter is that really they're quite ordinary in many, many
We're all people. So, regardless of the titles or the positions or what people from a distance think about us, we all have fears and we all have insecurities and we have, you know, strengths and weaknesses. So, I think the humanity, you know, when it comes to witnessing to or sharing with or reaching out to someone who's wealthy, just a reminder of that fact that we're human beings, and they are too, and that in some cases, I think people who are not intimidated by the wealth probably are better able to connect, for example, with the wealthy if they're just treated as
normal people. Person. Probably most of them want to be treated by the average person as ordinary people. And we need to remember that when we reach out to them. They're children of God. They have the same struggles as we have.
And that's not to say that in our efforts to reach out to people, that there will be times when we will be rebuffed. But there are those times when there's an open heart. We don't know when that's going
to be. Right.
And if we just categorically say, this is something I can't do, I'm a nobody, then God can't use us. Mm-hmm. But if we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's leading, who knows what can take
that's
place.
That's right. That's right. Very good. Well, there's one thing I would mention as well, too, and that is that this issue of being wealthy is a very relative kind of thing. Tremendous shock to me when, as an associate pastor here in the United States, I was in the lower 10% of my congregation as far as wages and what I was getting. I was a poor man in relationship to my congregation. I go overseas as a missionary. I get less money than I got here, and I'm in the top 10% of the people in my church. That changes how you look at yourself and how you see yourselves. Most of Americans don't see themselves as rich people, but in the eyes of most of the world, most of us are very rich.
That's true.
Yeah.
And our ability to share and reach out to other people is affected by how we view ourselves. Mm-hmm. If I'm really rich and I feel like I'm poor, it's not quite right. Anyway, it's good to know that Jesus cared about the rich and the famous. He reached out to them, and he expects us to reach out to them. And they have so many aspects of their lives that are like us that we need not be intimidated. We're bearing a message, a powerful message of love that God gives to them. And we have a right to bear it. And if we bear it in a good way, there's a good chance it will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So, a big thank you to Dan and Paul for your willingness to share today, to Chad Ofterhauer, our program director, engineer. Finally, thank you, our listeners. Hope you'll join us again next week. Should let you know that contact information as well as free printed companion materials are available online. Simply go to the Walla Walla University website and follow the links to the School of Theology and Good Word. May God bless you. For the Good Word, I'm John Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.